God, thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit and how it guides us into all truth. I believe you've spoken to our brother today, and I pray that you would help him to share it with us, and may the Spirit work in our lives and reveal it to us as well. I just pray your blessing upon this service in Jesus' name. Amen.
Morning, everyone. Good to see everyone out here this morning. I had planned on reading a scripture this morning, just a story about an individual. Before I start, to help us, I thought that if we'd read the story, we would... Has anybody ever thought to themselves that my journey is maybe unique and I'm alone? Has anybody ever thought that? And I was going to read this story, and I think I still will, but I was thinking about Kirvin's Bible study this morning. That has really broken a lot of the walls down already. I think just with the Bible study we had this morning, we recognize ourselves, who we are, and we also recognize that there's a lot of others that are on a same journey with us. My prayer for today is that there's a scripture in John 8:32, it says, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And I was reading that recently, and it hit me that what that really is saying is, and you will experience the truth. We will know not just with a head knowledge, but we will experience the truth, and then that truth is going to set us free. And the subject I want to speak on today, I pray that will be our journey, that as we look at it, as we experience it, it will bring freedom into our own lives. I think I will go ahead and still read the portion of scripture here. I was going to read about Joseph. We know that his brothers put him into a pit, sold him, went to Egypt. And when he was in Egypt, he was mistreated. He ended up being second of command of Egypt. And then all of a sudden, the brothers were in need. And Genesis 45, it says, Joseph could stand it. While they were in need, they came over for food. Joseph recognized them, and he set them in order of their ages. But he didn't tell them. They went home. He put a silver cup into Benjamin's sack. He was testing them, but then finally it came to the point where Joseph said, Genesis 45, Joseph could stand it no longer. There were many people in the room, and he said to his attendants, "Out, all of you." So he was alone with his brothers, and when he told them who he was, and then he broke down and wept. He wept so loudly the Egyptians could hear him, and were word of it quickly carried to Pharaoh's palace. "I am Joseph," he said to his brothers. "Is my father still alive?" But his brothers were speechless. They were stunned to realize that Joseph was standing there in front of them. "Please come closer," he said to them. So they came closer, and he said again, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into slavery in Egypt. But don't be upset and don't be angry with yourselves for selling me to this place. It was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve your lives. This famine that has ravaged the land for 2 years will last 5 more years, and there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. God has sent me ahead of you to keep you and your families alive and to preserve many survivors. So it was God who sent me here, not you, and he is the one who has made me an advisor to Pharaoh, the manager of this entire place and the governor of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and tell him, this is what your son Joseph says. God has made me master over all the land of Egypt. So come down to me immediately. You can live in the region of Goshen, where you can be near me with your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds, and everything you own. I will take care of you there, for there are still 5 years of famine ahead of us. Otherwise, your households and your animals will starve. Then Joseph added, look, you can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that I really am Joseph. Go tell my father of my honored position here in Egypt. Describe for him everything you have seen, and then bring my father here quickly. Weeping with joy, he embraced Benjamin, and Benjamin did the same. Then Joseph kissed each of his brothers and wept over them. And after that, they began talking freely with him. The news soon reached Pharaoh's palace. Joseph's brothers have arrived. Pharaoh and his officials were all delighted to hear this. Pharaoh said to Joseph, tell your brothers that this is what you must do. Load your pack animals and hurry back to the land of Canaan. Then get your father and all your families and return here to me. I will give you the very best land in Egypt, and then you will eat from the best that the land produces. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, tell your brothers, take wagons from the land of Egypt to carry down their children, your wives, and bring your father here. Don't worry about your personal belongings, for the rest of the land of Egypt is yours. So the sons of Jacob did as they were told. Joseph provided them with wagons, as Pharaoh had commanded, and he gave them supplies for the journey. And he gave each of them new clothes, but to Benjamin he gave 5 changes of clothes, 300 pieces of silver. He also sent his father 10 male donkeys loaded with the finest products of Egypt, and 10 female donkeys loaded with the grain, bread, and other supplies he would need on his journey. So Joseph sent his brothers off, and as they left, he called after them, don't quarrel about all this along the way. And they left Egypt and returned to their father, Jacob, in the land of Canaan. Joseph is still alive, they told him, and he is governor of all the land of Egypt. Jacob was stunned at the news. He couldn't believe it. But when they repeated to Jacob everything Joseph had told them, and when he saw the wagons Joseph had sent to carry him, their father's spirits revived. Then Jacob exclaimed, it must be true. My son Joseph is alive. I must go and see him before I die. I'd just like to open it up to you guys, if Mike is here. What are some observations that you saw in this relationship, in this one chapter that we just read? What are some things that stood out to you specifically that happened in this one chapter of Scripture that we just read off? Does anybody have anything that stood out to them? Anything? Mike up here.
I can't imagine Jacob's surprise and disbelief when he heard that his son actually was alive, and how hard it was for him to actually believe that.
The first couple verses where he says, when Joseph made himself known to his brothers, and he wept aloud so that the Egyptians heard it and the household of Pharaoh heard it. And Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph, is my father still alive? There's two things that I want to comment on. One, I can't imagine the dam that broke at that point for Joseph. Like he couldn't contain himself anymore. It's small wonder that the Egyptians heard him weeping. He didn't sniffle into a Kleenex, I don't think. And just that build up to it. And then also, when he told them not to be angry with themselves, and I thought it was here that he asked them to come closer, but maybe that was at a different place. But he really, really wanted to experience real fellowship with his brothers despite everything that had gone down.
Thank you.
My thought was to, down the line, what Ray said, emotions and years of what history on things that his brothers had done to him. It seems like the dam broke at that point. But the nice part about it is he pointed them to Christ. He said, you guys meant it for evil, but God meant it for good.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I guess as we read that chapter and we thought about it, Could we conclude that we are not maybe the only lives that have, only people that have lived dysfunctional lives? Like, seriously, this was really dysfunctional, right? And sometimes we think that our problems, our journey today is just so dysfunctional that, but no, you know what? The truth is that this world's broken and we live in a dysfunctional society, and that sometimes we ourselves are also dysfunctional. That is where we're coming from in our lives here. If we think about Joseph, what kept Joseph from demanding immediate justice from his brothers? Just some thoughts I would like you to consider. Sometimes in Scripture we read stuff, or I have in my own life, that we see it says something, it brings confusion to our life because we don't fully understand it. And if there's a scripture verse that brings confusion to your life, how do you process it? How do you, if you see God says this, but it doesn't make sense, how do you process that in your life? This morning I want to speak on a subject that has been very confusing for myself. And I think I have found tidbits of truth that have helped me. And I want to share some of those things. And it's about honoring. Today we want to look at, what does God's call to honor one another look like? Is God's invitation to honor one another, is that relevant in 2023? Or was that just some old Bible Testament? Now this morning, I'm thankful that we have the opportunity. I just want to say, I love you guys. I'm thankful that I may bring my family here to worship God. I'm blessed with that. And yet at the same time, I know that today's topic, or the, just simply the thought of honoring, will be painful possibly for some people, will not make sense to some people. And I just want to throw out, wherever you are on your journey, that Jesus was one time teaching and he said this. He said, to those that are able to receive it, receive it. See, Jesus does not force you to understand fully and embrace everything fully right now. He says, if you're able to receive it, receive it. So looking at honor this morning, what is honor? Could we have a couple definitions of honor just from the congregation here? Like, does anybody have a definition of honor? What does honor mean? When you read the scriptures where it tells you to honor someone, what does it mean to you? Chris up here.
To me, it means to give someone respect because of their age or position or relationship, but basically to give respect.
To give respect. Any other ones? I asked yesterday, what does honor mean at home? And Nikki, shall I tell him that? He promptly pulls his phone out, Googles it, and gives me the definition, puts the phone on top of his head and says, I pulled it off the top of my head. The dictionary definition is high respect, great esteem. But I think I would like to throw in to value. If we honor something, if I honor you, I value you. You're worth something to me. Like, you're valued to me. So if we would interchange honor with value, in my life I had a lot of things mixed up with just like honor is just saying more of worship and obedience and I guess before we go into that, I would like to open up who are we called to honor? Who are we called to honor? Let's have, like, there's a lot of different people that we have in life are called to honor. What comes to your mind when you think of who we are called to honor? Up here, Kevin.
Mother and father.
Mother and father.
The king.
The king.
My boss.
Your boss. Your spouse. Mike up here. Sorry, Mike up here for Mike.
There's a verse about in honor preferring one another, so that would be each other.
Mm-hmm. No, thank you. Thank you for those inputs. I have several scriptures here. I will just read them off. And basically, they're going to be Jesus. They're going to be the government, church elders, parents, masters, others. And then I put down wife and then also widows. So I'm just going to read these scriptures off. Jesus. So 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect." So if we step back and we read it like this, "But in your hearts value Christ the Lord as holy." And if we value Christ as holy, will we always have an answer if somebody asks us about Christ? We will, right? But then he says, do this with gentleness and respect. The government. Romans 13. Give to everyone that you owe them. Pay your taxes and government fees to those who collect them, and give respect and honor to those who are in authority. Church elders, 1 Thessalonians 5. Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work, and live peacefully with each other. Parents, Exodus 20. Honor your father and mother. Then you will live a long, full life in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Masters, 1 Timothy 6:1. All slaves should show full respect of their masters so they will not bring shame on the name of God and his teaching. If the masters are believers, that is no excuse for being disrespectful. Those slaves should work all the harder because their efforts are helping other believers who are well loved. Then others, Romans 12:10. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. 1 Peter 3, in the same way you husbands must give honor to your wives, treating your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should so your prayers will not be hindered. Then widows. 1 Timothy 5:3, take care of or honor any widow that has no one else to care for. Or what I would take from that, honor those that need help. So this has been a source of confusion in my own personal life. Have you ever looked at a relationship in which you were called to honor and thought it's just absolutely no way that the call of Scripture to honor applies here? Has anybody ever faced something like that? Have you ever known the Scripture says honor this and you were like, makes no sense, there's no way I can do it? Some people are, I can see, can are connecting with that. So then my next question is, how do you process that? I would like to have some feedback. How do you work through that journey? If God says honor this, and you go like, makes no sense. How do you process that?
I know for myself, I think I've already gotten honor mixed up with obedience, just because we're called to fear God and honor the king, for example, doesn't necessarily that mean that the king always is telling us to do the right thing based on God's laws.
Thank you. Have you ever looked at where you've been called to honor? You think that if I would honor this individual, he may be not living for God, he may be living wrong, that if we honor this individual in this situation, we are saying that what he's doing is okay. Has anybody ever struggled with that? If we honor something that is evil, are we saying that evil is good? We go ahead.
No.
No. Okay, but what is the answer?
So Jude talks about people who, I don't think it uses the word honor. Maybe if you pick the right translation, it does. It talks about people who don't show due respect to those who deserve their respect. And it says, even when, I don't know where this story comes from, but it says even when Michael the archangel was disputing with the devil about Moses' body, he would not disrespect the devil. But when I said, the Lord rebuke you. And I thought it's such a weird story. Can't we disrespect the devil? He's not worthy of any respect. And yet, I think when we have, this is something I'm not good at, but when we have authorities in our lives that we struggle to accept, or maybe it's obvious that they're just not just in some way. We don't necessarily have to take that sitting down. But we have to remember that it's not necessarily our responsibility to turn every unjust authority into a just one. Romans 13 is a discussion about authority. And in there, Paul quotes, or maybe it's Romans 12, God says in the Old Testament, vengeance is mine, I will repay.
So I take from what you said there, Chris, I think it is something that we all can identify with to some degree. Or take example where authorities maybe have wronged us, and then where maybe is said, we may have been told God moved their sins as far as the east from the west and remember them no more. So neither should we, that we must trust those who have wronged us or we have not forgiven. So those are things we sort through, we grapple with. We say, okay, it says honor, but how do we process that? Can we still honor without acknowledging that wrongs being committed are not okay? Are we called to allow wrongs to be committed against us and then call them good? Those are questions I had in my own journey, I had in my own life. So God said honor, but it doesn't add up. There's nothing what I was viewing as honor, as honorable. Yet God said honor. Let's look at a couple people's lives. Let's go really far out, then let's bring it closer into our own lives. So a historic figure, Nero, Adolf Hitler, could we honor them? I don't think we should fly their flags, really, right? But could we honor them? Or in our generation, it says to honor government. Is there anything within us that could honor Kim Jong-un? Is there? Is he worthy of our honor? Or if we bring it down to Ontario local, we'll look at somebody like Dylan Millard, with what he did. Can we honor a human being that has life when it says to honor all? How do we sort through that? Or what about somebody we just plain don't like? Does anybody have anybody that they don't like? It's embarrassing, but This is how I have found myself. So it was a while back. Somebody posted something on social media. I'm like, that's stupid. I don't like it. A couple hours later, somebody else posted, which there was not as much difference. And it was like, okay, yeah, that's not that bad. Would you judge like that? I did. But you know, there's some people that we struggle to like others. Anybody else identify with that? So let's say Trudeau. Do you honor him? Maybe you don't like him. But when it says honor the government, what are you going to do? Or leaders in our lives, church, boss, or honor our wife or parents to their children. Here's my question that I want us to think today and ask ourselves. Why is it important? Like, why should we honor someone? Why would God have asked us to honor an individual? Like, he just was like, okay, I'm going to have them honor. Like, there's probably a reason that God is asking us to honor someone. Think about your current most complicated relationship that you have. How can you honor, when it says honor all men, how can you honor that individual? If we think about this, while we were still sinners, Christ honored us so much that he sent, that he came and died for us. God honored us so much. He valued us so much. For God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. See, the thing is, honoring is not necessarily saying that the person is perfect, that the person has no faults. It's valuing them. And just to take this a little bit deeper, when Adam and Eve were created and God breathed breath into that individual and he became a living soul, do you think that in 20 million years from now, every single one of us will still, our souls will be completely alive? And if we recognize that, how much could we value each other despite the pain? And again, I want to just say, this has been a difficult journey for myself. And what Jesus said, he said, if you're able to receive it, receive it. If you're on a journey of learning what honor is and you're not there, I don't judge you for not being there. I'm just saying, let's explore it. Let's explore it, because maybe the purpose that God has asked us to honor each other and to honor in situations is so that by us valuing an individual, that person can see God through us by the way we relate to them. Maybe that's the reason more. We're not called to justify sin. We're not called to call good evil, or to call evil good. But maybe it is our honor to an individual will show that individual that God in heaven values them. And I believe this is what is so important to honor people. Imagine in a civil government where this would function, where there would be respect, where the House of Commons would come together and they would value each other. Or as a church, if we would come together and we would recognize that we actually need each individual within the body because it is an important part of the body and we value each other. Or within the home or the workplace. See, when we value something, it is of worth. Honor is not shaming. When we shame an individual or position or whatever, we are not honoring it. And then also, another thing I want us to contemplate and think about it. If we honor someone, what happens? See, Jesus valued us first. By loving us first, the result was that we then loved him. What if the divine purpose of honor was so that we would have a gift to give to someone else, to have them see the goodness of God? And just repeating again, Romans 5, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. What is the possibility that God is asking us to honor one another in such a way so that God can have an opportunity to show others his love through us? My question for you is, will you commit with me? See, I have struggled in honoring people because I had a difficult time sorting through this. Difficult time. People that we were called to honor had maybe hurt us. And then how do you sort through that? But there's always, I think God can bring us to a place where we can value something about that individual. And my question is, will you commit with me this week to walk forward, honoring one another, and also by that, to walk honorably? 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor all people, love the brotherhood. And he's not saying that we just look at something that is evil and say that's good. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, look at the individual, value him as Christ valued him. Thought back to where Joseph, his brothers went their way. You know, in our congregation here, I think it's beautiful how, I think it's beautiful what we have. But let's honor one another, because if we are able to value each other, God can prosper it. Joseph's brothers, as they went on their way, he knew that his brothers were very dysfunctional. And I think God looks down upon our lives today and he looks at us and says, you know what, guys? The truth is, we're dysfunctional. You're dysfunctional. We are dysfunctional. And I think that's okay. But Joseph said to his brothers, don't quarrel about all this along your way. And that's what I would like to leave with us this morning. You know, we're going to go different ways now. We're going to see different things. We're going to actually experience different things. But in all the midst of that, let's not fight about it. Let's honor each other. Let's value each other. And then when we value an individual, how many, just thinking back of this, of a personal experience, that I have been valued by an individual that I knew I didn't deserve it. And that caused me to recognize that God is good. And I just want to leave that with you. Let's walk into this week honoring one another and also walking honorably. God bless you as you do that.